listening to the CCA Podcast.
And so this morning, the theme, if you will, we're in the second week of our Jesus is Hope sermon series. It's our first series that Linnea and I felt the Lord leading us to launch here at the church, Jesus is Hope. This is week number two, and the subject this morning is Let Your Light Shine. Matthew chapter 5 is our text this morning. I'm going to begin reading at verse 13. Jesus, these are the words of Jesus, he said this, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men." Verse 14, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house." Verse 16, "In the same way," if you know it, say it with me, "let your light shine." In the same way, say it with me, "let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." We are the salt and the light of Seattle. Calvary, we are propelled to help people find and follow Jesus. Just a few weeks ago, I've shared this story with some. I was down west side of I-5. I was down at Green Lake, and I was at Retreat Coffee. And I like to strike up conversation with people. I'm kind of outgoing that way. And being a new pastor in this area, I said, "Hey," I just met somebody. I said, "Hey, I'm a new pastor in the area. I'm just trying to get to know people, get to know who's in this community." I said, "Can I ask you just a random question?" And she goes, "Yeah, I like random questions. What's up?" I said, "I'm curious. What kind of church would you go to? Like, do you go to church?" And she said, "Well, it's funny you asked that." She said, "I've had a friend who has been inviting me to church for some time now." And she says, "I finally gave in." She says, "First of all, you need to know, I promised myself I'd never go to church again." And I said, "Well, what? Why? I mean, if you don't mind, what?" She said, "I don't mind telling you." She says, "The denomination I grew up in, it really wasn't for me, and I had a bad experience." She says, "That's all I can say." I said, "Well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to hear that." He said, "Tell me more about your friend." And she said, "Well, yeah, my friend's been inviting me over and over, week after week." And she said, "Finally, I decided I would go." She said, "It was interesting." I said, "Well, tell me more. What was it? Was it a good experience? Was it a bad experience?" She says, "Well, actually, it was the nail in the coffin. I'm never going back to church." And I said, "Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm terribly sorry to hear that." She says, "Oh, by the way, you need to know I'm agnostic." She says, "I don't even know if there's a God. And quite frankly, if there is a God, I don't know that he can be known." She goes, "So I've just reasoned I'm agnostic." And I said, "Well, fair enough. Let's talk more." I said, "Tell me more about your experience." And she says, "Have you ever been around people where they're unrelatable and they come on too strong and they're not relevant? You can't really connect with them." I said, "Yeah, I've been around people like that. I'm sorry that was your experience." And so that's kind of where the conversation ended. I tried to encourage her a little bit. And she appreciated my smile, and she said, "Best of luck to you." And I said, "I'll be praying for you. I'd like to pray for all my friends and all my family." It's very interesting to me, Calvary, because a conversation like that leads me to a recent Barna Group research. If you've ever been online and read about Barna Group, It's curious to me how they found Seattle to be one of the most post-Christian cities in America. We people who live, we Seattleites, if you will, have a general reluctance to engage in spiritual conversations. We Seattleites have an aversion to evangelism and a general erosion, overarching, of religious belief and practice. Look at this slide with me, if you will. See, there we are, number 10. Woohoo! 54%. This is the top 10 most post-Christian cities in America. Now, we were 9 back in 2017, so we're a little more spiritual. We'll get into that in a little bit in a few minutes here, but we're number 10 on the list. So you say, what does that mean, post-Christian? Well, let me extrapolate just a little bit. A few factors of a post-Christian defined city. Okay, listen. Individuals identify as either atheist or agnostic, like my friend, right? Have never made a personal commitment to Jesus, have not attended church in the last year, and have not read their Bible or prayed to God in the last week. That's what defines some characteristics, a disposition of a post-Christian defined city. I would suggest today here that in a city of over 700,000 people and close to 3.5 million in the surrounding metropolitan area, I would suggest that we're overflowing with cultural problems and we're seemingly short on hope. So here's the question. How do we reach Seattle with Jesus' hope? This is a question today. It's a question this morning. Just look at somebody and tell them, let your light shine. We're going to look at what Jesus said. It was not too long ago, I was at the gym. As you know, one of my non-negotiables is fitness. I'm in the gym every day. Forgive me for showing you this, but this is my CGM. I'm a diabetic, and so I'm in the gym. Part of my discipline is fitness. So I'm in the gym not too long ago. And I strike up conversation, as you well know, I love to do with people. And over a series of weeks, I'm getting to know an in particular friend of mine. His name is Russell. And we talk life. We talk about everything from marriage to kids to work to struggles to challenges to fitness. He was in particular interested in how I had lost over the last 2 years. If you knew me 2 years ago, I was 50 pounds heavier and my waist was 5 inches bigger. Okay, so he was in particular curious, man, how did you do it? What did you do? What are your thoughts behind fitness, et cetera, et cetera? So we began into conversation, and naturally, what comes out of me is I love to let my light shine. I love to be kind. I love to pray for people. That's one of my inlets. If you know me, if you've known me for a amount of time, I'll ask you at some point, hey, what can I pray with you about? And so I did that with Russell. Is there anything I can pray with you about? And just continued the conversation. Well, weeks go by, months go by, and out of nowhere, one day, Russell stops me, all right? He stops me, and he says, Ryan, you don't know it, but you're influencing my life in ways you don't even know. Let your light shine, church. Because I would suggest that the Jesus light in you will influence others in Seattle with hope in ways you don't realize. You know why? Because Jesus is awesome. At the end of the day, Jesus is awesome like that. He will work in you and work through you. Number one in your filling this morning, you are the salt of the earth. You're the salt. You are the salt of the earth. If you're taking notes, it's in your bulletin. You should have gotten a piece of paper when you walked in your bulletin. You can fill in salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. Church, the climate of our self-driven culture seems to be that of powerless politics, inflated greed, and moral decline. You see, I walk the streets of Seattle every day, and I see such deep longing in the eyes and the hearts of those that I meet. I walk up and down the highways and byways, don't you? People seeking joy, people seeking peace, people longing for hope. How do you respond to our city's crisis? How do you respond to cultural erosion? It's very interesting because the portion of scripture that I read, Matthew chapter 5, Jesus, in a decaying era of the Roman Empire, Jesus surprisingly responds by talking about food. That's why I love Jesus. I mean, he in the middle of everything that's going on, he starts telling people about seasonings. He says, you're the salt of the earth. It's kind of like television personality and chef Emeril Lagasse, if anyone knows who I'm talking about, who has seasoned the world with his fame. Let's put a picture of him up. Bam! Right? Anybody know Emeril? Bam! He just takes a little bit of salt, right? And he just, bam! Anybody know what I'm talking about here? You are the salt of the earth, Jesus says. You are the salt of the earth. In your notes, just circle that. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the salt of the earth. Let's think about that. So Jesus is all Jesus' followers. This didn't end thousands of years ago, by the way. This, what he said, this is an active and living word that I'm speaking from this morning. And Jesus says, you are the salt. So today, if Jesus said you are the salt, then today he's saying you are the salt. So that tells me that when Jesus made Ryan, he seasoned Seattle. Bam! That tells me this morning that when Jesus made my beautiful wife and my son and my mother-in-law, who's here with us this morning, everybody welcome her, would you? Irene, yes, she's beautiful. Now you know where her daughter gets her looks. When Jesus made my family, he placed us in Seattle, he said, bam! That means when Jesus made you and put you right where you're at in your sphere of influence, Jesus made you and called you by name, and he said, in Seattle, bam! It's interesting to me because when I study salt, as you well know, there's a purifying agent with salt. Salt is used in soaps and things for purification. Salt is used as a preservative element. If you study salt and know anything about salt, and salt keeps things fresh and keep. He's put us in Seattle for a reason. And what I found is salt is most effective in the hands of a master chef. The gospel church is only tasted when it's served with loving kindness, I might add. Look at this scripture with me. Paul said it this way. He said, let your conversation be always full of grace. What? Read it with me. Seasoned with salt. Just circle that in your notes. Seasoned with salt. Have your conversations this week been seasoned with salt? Full of grace? Served with kindness? Start with your family. Start with your neighbors. Ask yourself, just rate yourself this morning. Has my conversation been seasoned with salt? With the teller at the grocer, with the teller at the bank, with the gas clerk? Are my conversations laced with grace and full of kindness, seasoned with salt? Is there someone you know of who maybe needs a seasoning of Jesus' hope? This morning, let's just push the pause button. Do you need a seasoning this morning? Do you need Jesus to just speak into you and confirm who you really are in him? Not who the world says you are, not who even well-meaning Christians may have spoken negatively over it. Those words, those negative things that you've heard. No, maybe this morning, do you need to hear him say again, listen, this is who you really are. There's something purifying in you. I place you in this city for such a time as a preservative to save. He says, my hand is on this city to save it. I'm going to use you. Let me tell you who you are. Let me tell you what's in you. The hope that he'll unleash in you to then unleash in others. Talking about Jesus taking a handful of us and giving a little bit of bam in Seattle. Is there somebody you know of that needs Jesus? See, Jesus gets real in verse 13. He says, if you stay close to him, what he's after is, he says, if you stay close to him, you will be seasoned to perfection. But apart from him, to lose your saltiness, you will lack usefulness. So I read something like this, and it's I've read it so many times in my life, but what does it really mean, and how do I apply it? Well, let's just get real basic for a minute. Let's just go way basic. You remember the two chairs illustration I gave you? One of the chairs is for you, one of the chairs is for Jesus. And have you spent time with him this last week? Have you sat in a chair across from Jesus in the morning before the day gets busy, and you just sit with him and you just talk to him? Talk to him about the bad break you had at work. Maybe you've been let go, or maybe you've been laid off or fired or something happened. Just talk to him. Just connect with him. Talking about saltiness, staying useful. Did you know when he said you were the salt, at the time, salt and light, two of the most useful elements, salt and light, he's basically saying, when he says you're salt, he's saying you are useful, you are valuable. There's something in you that no one else has. He's called you by name. I'm talking about sitting down with Jesus, very practical, and talking about finances. Lord, I'm having a difficult time right now with these finances. How am I going to make ends meet? Talking about relationships. God, I've been waiting for a spouse for decades. I was left by somebody, and I'm still bitter about it. Just talking to Jesus about everything. I mean, just total open vulnerability. What am I suggesting? I'm suggesting to savor. Think of salt. Just savor your time with Jesus. Like a master chef, let Jesus, your time with him, that two chairs time with him, let him change you from good to great. He is the master chef who will take what is seemingly hopeless and create something completely enjoyable. It reminds me, I can't help but think of food. You can't say you're the salt of the earth and not think of food, right? Jesus knew what he, by the way, Jesus loved to eat with his disciples. He loved that. Do you like food, by the way? I just want to make sure I'm talking to the right people this morning. It reminds me of my wife makes some of the, right, Bryce? Oh, he's like, yeah. She just makes them. I mean, there's this quinoa chicken bacon thing that she does that is like, unbelievable. Whether it's ribs or chicken on the grill, chicken legs, her spaghetti that she's been making ever since we were dating. I mean, she knows the right amount of seasoning. She knows the right amount of salt. She knows the right amount of ingredients, and she makes it good. Anybody have a spouse? This is your time to brag on them right now. That kid that can cook, or a friend that can just, right? Isn't that awesome? Or a mom, right? Or a mom who could, I mean, right? How to be salt. What does that mean? Let me give you an illustration since we're talking about my wife. So the other day at Winco, how to be salt. What does that mean? You are the salt of the earth. The other day at Winco, she's in line and the person in front of her is trying to check out and it's now time to pay and she's paying and it's not working, and she tries a couple times, and she's getting frustrated, the lady in front of my wife, and getting frustrated, and the people behind are now, actually, I think it was you. Was it you who was cussing at the, I'm just kidding, totally kidding. Laugh, it's okay, I'm not going to, yeah. And so my wife, she says, I just felt like I could help, and so she just said, you know what, don't worry about it. Let me get your groceries for you. Don't even worry about it. And the lady was just so taken back. And it actually, that salt, that little bit of bam of a moment, if you will, impacted her probably far beyond ways than even my wife realizes. And the clerk was even impacted. And salt, you are the salt of the earth. Wherever you go, do you season it to perfection? Do you just bring out the God flavors of wherever you go? I'm talking about being the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. Number two, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. We have a video that's queued up. I want to show this to you. And think of it as you reflect in terms of light, okay? And then we'll keep working our way through Scripture here together. Check this video out. That good? That awesome? You are the light of the world. So what am I doing here? You're like, what is happening on the platform? Why is he plugging something in to the outlet, and why is there water near? This is my first time ever doing this, actually. I don't know what I'm doing up here. I just saw it on YouTube, and I thought, why not? You are the light of the world. What does that mean? You are the light of the world. Rich and poor, young and old, conservative and liberal, citizen and immigrant, I would suggest this morning, the eyes that I look into throughout the week and the people you know, there are a lot of people who feel hopeless. Some of us in this room this morning are going through some serious stuff, and there's some hopelessness, some despondency, some despair going on in our spirit. How do you respond in the darkness of hopelessness? It's really what it is. Hopelessness is it's darkness, just searching. How do you respond in a bad break? How do you respond in a darkened culture? Not just climatized by under the clouds, but there's people whose spirits are just, they're under darkness. Well, as I read the scripture, it's interesting because in a darkened Roman Empire, okay, like a Bill Nye the Science Guy episode, Jesus unexpectedly responds by talking about the energy of light. Maybe just look at somebody again and just encourage them. Say, let your light shine. Let your light shine. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Whoever what? Read it with me. Follows me. Just circle. Maybe just I like to do that. I dog-ear my pages, I write, I circle. If that's your style, maybe just circle, follows me. Because Jesus then says, you, speaking of the followers of Jesus, are the light of the world. So if you've decided to follow Jesus, part of your identity is that you are the light of the world. I found that by knowing the light, we can demonstrate its impact. It's that two chairs, that time with Jesus. By knowing him, we can then, it's about not doing before being. It's about being before doing. You've got to know the light. Light is a natural agent and makes things visible. In other words, it's hard. You have to work to hide light. You actually have to work at not being evidence if you're light. Because it's a natural agent that makes things visible. I would suggest this morning that as light is a natural agent that makes things visible, we are supernatural agents that inspire faith in others throughout Seattle to see Jesus more clearly. You are the light of the world. Okay, so, because I know you're thinking, what is happening here? So, let's see. Is everything connected here? Yeah. So, these are two live wires. All right? One of them is already in the water. This one here. Just kidding. Okay, so you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. So right now, this is water. There's zero salt in here. There's just water, okay? I need you to know, as you probably already do know, I learned this from Bill Nye years ago, that salt water is a conductor of electricity, okay? So again, the salt of the earth, the light of the world. When a couple of us get together and we start filling Seattle, what begins to happen, right? You are the light of the world. So when Jesus, the master chef, when you're in his hand and you let him pay for somebody's groceries through you, and then you might help that person at the gym who's hopeless, but you unleash hope by just loving on them. What are we doing? Come on, Calvary. This is you and me, Calvary, in Seattle. This is you and me in the streets, in Green Lake, in Roosevelt Community, in Linwood, in Edmonds, in downtown, and this is you and me. He says, you are the light of the world. This is who you are. This is who we are. When Henry Ness, years ago, saw a school, this is who we are. You are the light of the world. Did you know that we derive light from Jesus then? We overflow hope in a dark and broken world. The Bible says it this way. He says, your word is a lamp that gives light wherever I walk. And I added, in Seattle. Emphasis added. So you're wondering, okay, that sounds great. I'm the light of the world. But what does that mean? Here, start here where David did. Just start by tomorrow morning. You open up the Word of God. And if you don't know, if you're not in a plan, just go back to what we're talking about today, Matthew chapter 5, and you start reading the words of Jesus, because his words are that light. Remember, he said, I'm the light of the world. And then he said, now you are the light of the world. So when we get his words, when I get his words from this page into my heart, the overflow, you can't help but shine in the streets of Seattle. You can't help but want to invite people to church. You can't help but tell people there's hope. Amen? Is there someone you know who needs the light? Who needs the word of Jesus? Do you need the light this morning? Do you need his word and the deep recesses of your heart in those broken places? Your light shines brightest after personally experiencing Jesus. Number three, you are the shining light Seattle needs. You are the shining light Seattle needs. Did you know that Jesus was never meant to be the best kept secret in Seattle? He was never meant to be the best kept secret. Let your light shine. How do I let my light shine? Very quickly, I read an article a while ago, Finding Hope in a Drifting Culture by Pastor Wilfredo de Jesus. He recognizes four cultural responses, and most of us in this room fit in one of these, and I just want to run through this very quickly. Some of us accommodate change. That means that we tolerate and go along to get along. We say we need to keep up with the culture. We want to be relevant, don't we? We accommodate. We just accommodate wherever we can. Some fiercely oppose change. These are people who don't read or listen to arguments from the other side and only listen to friends and commentators who reinforce their views. Example would be whatever side you're on, CNN, Fox, wherever you fall in the paradigm. They fiercely oppose change. No, we're not. No, I won't listen to anything on that because this is who I oppose. This is who I am. Some withdraw to protect themselves. They say, what's the use? It is what it is. My voice means nothing considering these issues are way too big. These Seattle issues are way too big. This homelessness is way too big. It's too complex. It's way too big. And these people feel that accommodating change is compromising truth while opposing change may mean conflict. And then some engage culture with a Jesus-like blend of truth, grace, and purpose. I want to encourage you this morning, be the sum. Be the sum who engage culture with a Jesus mindset. Engage people by following the example of Jesus is what I'm suggesting and encouraging us, Calvary, this morning. Jesus moved toward the outcast. What does that mean? Jesus moved toward the marginalized. Jesus felt genuine sorrow for the hopeless. He stood up against injustice and boldly faced those who hated him for loving the unlovely. He reached the poor and he reached the rich. Where has he put you? Where is your influence? Do you have a heart? Do you engage with the millionaires if you're in their circle? Do you engage with the homelessness if you're in their circle? Where is your sphere? Where has God said, bam, I've put you here to season you for such a time is this? Where is your sphere of influence and are you engaging? Jesus showed that we shine by doing. Your notes say, let's do something. What does he say? He says, words of Jesus, let your light shine before others that they may, read it with me, see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. When people hear Ryan, do they hear Jesus? When people ask yourself, use your own name, not mine. This isn't Evaluate Pastor Ryan morning. When people hear you, when people see, when people experience your presence, is it an opportunity for them to experience the presence of Jesus? Here's a tip. Okay, we're just practical. I just want to, just very practical. Here's a tip. Tip. But you missed it. Here's a tip. Tip. I'll give you an example. I was at one of my favorite restaurants, Geraldine's. Praise the Lord if you know where that's at. The best corned beef hash ever. Well, one of the best because I like Portage Bay too. But anyway, that's a different sermon. So I'm at this restaurant, Geraldine's, and I like to tip. We like to tip. We just like to take care of people. We feel it's part of our witness. It's part of letting our light shine. So we tip this waitress very well. And I write down a little John 3:16 note. You were great, praying for you. Awesome. Keep it up. Come back. Same waitress. She goes, you know that little note you gave me last time? She goes, it brought back memories of when I was a little girl and I used to go to VBA. She goes, I haven't been to church in a long while. And she goes, thank you. Do you know what we did? We stiffed her. No, we didn't. We tipped her good, again. What am I talking about doing? I'm just talking about being practical. Sometimes we think, let your light shine, and we have to go out and be Billy Graham. No, tip. Just tip. You're getting to know me, and I'm just some of these practical, very basic things that I think a lot of us, we just get lazy in. I'll be the first to admit. Paul encouraged us. He says, for you were once in darkness, but now you are in light. You are the light in the Lord. Live as children of light. Let your light shine, church. Let your light shine. Like salt and light, what are we doing here this morning? We congregate to do what? To spread out. We congregate to spread out. We come together in the hand of Jesus to stay in the four walls of the church? No. To spread out around Seattle. We congregate to spread. This is what Paul's talking about. Live as children of the light. Mother Teresa says it this way. I love this quote. She says, if we do any preaching, it's done with deeds, not with words. This is our witness to the gospel. So why are we baptizing this morning? Well, this is why, because this is part of letting your light shine. It's these people who will come up in a minute. These people who will come forward this morning, and you know what they're saying? They're saying, two thumbs up, I want everybody to know that I'm scared to be a Christian, and so don't look at me. I don't want anyone to, and they're going to try. No. These people who are going to come up are saying what? They're saying, two thumbs up, I want everyone to know I'm a Jesus follower. The Bible says this, that's what baptism into the life of Jesus means. When we are lowered into the water, it is like the burial of Jesus. When we are raised up out of the water, it is like the resurrection of Jesus. Each of us is raised into the light-filled world by our Father so that we can see where we're going in our new grace, sovereign country. This morning, like a master chef on TV can take any ingredients and make something good out of it. God can take the random ingredients, circumstances, and happenings of anyone's life, including yours, and he can make something good. Will you respond to his invitation this morning? Like a light bulb that is plugged into its power source and gives hopeful glow to everything it touches. God can warm hearts, including yours this morning. And he can pierce the darkness with Jesus' hope. Will you respond to his invitation? Like my friend Russell at the gym, who told me I was influencing him for the better. God can change your life for the good and use it to help people find and follow Jesus. This morning, I'm encouraging you to let your light shine. In your notes, one friend, and we conclude with this, one friend or family member I can be salt and light to and invite to church this week. Would you take a minute right now, just in your notes, one friend, one family member, one neighbor, one person you can do something for, as simple as send an encouraging text. You can be salt and light to and invite to church this week. With every head bowed and eyes closed this morning, would you pray with me? And before I pray, every head bowed and eye closed. People in this world who don't have joy and peace in their heart will spend an entire lifetime searching for it. Seeking for it. I know what I'm talking about because I've done it, church. I've looked for joy and peace in substance abuse. I've looked for joy and peace in sex. I've looked for joy and peace in education and acceptance. I want to be accepted by everybody. I've looked for joy and peace in social media platform and position and power. I've looked for it in a lot of different places, overeating, undereating. I've looked, I've sought it out, and you know what I found? I found that the only place I've found joy and peace that has filled my heart to satisfaction has been in Jesus Christ and my personal relationship with him. I want to extend an invitation this morning. This isn't from me. This is from God. He wants to know you better. He wants to know you more. I'm extending an invitation. Anyone this morning who found hope in this message, anyone who found Jesus in this message, and you want to follow him, at the count of three, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand so I can pray with you. I ask you to raise your hand only because I want to know who I'm praying with, and that helps me to know. So at the count of three, if you've found hope this morning and you want to follow Jesus, you want to put your hand up and say, Pastor Ryan, would you pray for me? One, two, three. Would you just put your hand up? One. Keep those hands up for me. Yes. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11. Yeah, you can put your hands down. 12, 13. Now, there were a few up there too. Listen, would you stand with me this morning? We're going to pray together. Father, we come to you in this moment of grace, and we are grateful for your love. We are grateful for the hope that you've given this morning in your word. Lord, as these precious people have raised their hand in response after reflecting your word, these 12 people who raised their hands, God, and maybe more in their heart, they raised their hand. God, as they pray from their heart with me in this prayer now, Father, would you forgive us our sin? Would you forgive me my sin? Would you cleanse me of all unrighteousness? And God, would you come into my heart and help me follow you? Help me live wholeheartedly for you. God, your word says, everyone who calls help God gets help. And so my friends and I, we do that in this moment. We say, Lord, help. Help, God. Help me to follow you wholeheartedly. I'm in. I'm all in this morning. So I pray God would bless each and every hand that went up, each and every heart that's opened up. In the strong name of Jesus, we all said amen. Amen. As another step, I want to open up an opportunity like none other. Especially for those who raise their hand. If you've never been baptized in water, this morning is your morning. If you have something in you, as we began talking about the hope of Jesus and talking about baptisms as an outward sign of an inward profession of faith, you say, something in me just began to move, but I didn't come prepared. I don't have clothes. That's okay, because we do. Yeah. And if this is not pressure sales, please, that is not what baptism is all about. But if there's something in you that says, I want to go public, and the first step of that is baptism. The first step of letting your light shine is baptism. And if you've never been baptized, right now, those who've signed up, please come forward now. At this time, Pastor Linnea and Pastor Matthew will be here. We have some youth that are getting baptized this morning. Go ahead. Give God praise. And this morning, if that's you, you want to be baptized, we have clothes for you. We have a shirt for you. We have shorts. We have towels. Everything's ready to go. So I'm going to open it up right now. And I'm going to ask that anyone who is moved for baptism, I want to invite you right now, okay? I'm going to be baptizing. Pastor Matthew is going to be baptizing. And we're going to enter into a time of worship here. So please don't hesitate. Pastor Linnea and Pastor Matthew are here. Are there any others that would like to come forward and be baptized? Any others this morning? We've been praying for you all week. We've been believing for this moment. And this is what we're all about, church. Calvary, you need to know this is what we're all about. We're all about helping people find and follow Jesus. We're all about mission Matthew 28, where Jesus says, go into all the world, preach the gospel, make disciples of all kinds of people, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And I'm with you always to the end of the age. We're going to wait. And Christians, now, if you've been baptized, now's not the time to speculate and to wonder, well, is anything going to happen? No, now's the time to put your faith to work and begin to pray for those who are moved, to begin to pray for those in this place who have not yet been baptized. And I got great news for you, by the way, because this morning, if you say, well, I want to do it, but I'm not 100% sure, I got good news for you. Every fourth Sunday from now till Jesus returns, we'll be doing baptisms. Let's worship.